Welcome to Season 7 of Tell Me a Story I Don't Know, a fascinating journey into the lives of top sports personalities and their connections to Chicago. They reveal entertaining, memorable, and emotional stories many you've never heard before. I'm your host, George Hoffman, and please follow this podcast through our new partnership with Last Word on Sports Media Podcast. Find them at lastwordonsports.com and this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcast. Tell Me a Story I Don't Know is proudly presented by Mr. Duct, Chicagoland's premier comprehensive air duct cleaning and ventilation for residential and commercial properties. They're upfront and honest. Find them on the web at MrDuctCleaning.com. This week, we feature a member of the Chicago Bears Super Bowl XX champions, Jay Hilgenberg.
Everything is my uncle, Wally Hilgenberg, telling me that no matter what or where you get drafted or not get drafted, when you go to that training camp, it's all attitude. And I just remember also my father during training camp had such belief in me that I would make the team and I'd make any team that I'd go out for, that that gave me a lot of confidence. So, I mean, I was determined to make it.
The 85 Bears already have 5 Hall of Famers in Walter Payton, Mike Singletary, Richard Dent, Dan Hampton, and Jimbo Covert. Will Jay Hilgenberg become number 6? He's been a nominee. Hilgenberg was part of one of the most electric and perhaps best teams of all time. The 85 Bears lost all but one game as they swept through the playoffs and won their only Super Bowl title. Hilgenberg was their all-pro center, having played in that postseason event 7 consecutive years. The son of a coach and nephew of an NFL star, Hilgenberg spent the last number of years as an in-studio analyst for Bears radio broadcast, and he has thoughts, or 3, about the Bears, the league, and the upcoming Super Bowl. And did you know he went undrafted? So, Jay Hilgenberg, tell me a story I don't know.
Oh, you know, it's been so many years that talking about the one Super Bowl. It's been a long time, but, you know, it's just being part of that Super Bowl team, that 85 magical year. It was just something about how it's just like the whole team bought in that year. It was the loss. I think what really helped the 85 team was the 84 loss against the 49ers was the key. It's just, we had such a great year in 84. The victory we had in against Washington at RFK, I think it was like one of the first playoff games that they had lost there, and maybe the first time or numerous years. But then going out to play the 49ers, we were like 12-point underdogs, and I couldn't believe that we would be 12-point underdogs. No way that our 84 team could be underdogs like that, but then got beat 23-0.
They've decided it's going to be Wershing from 34 yards out with Montana holding. And he rips it up and good. 23-0. The 49ers over the Bears. The last time they met was last year, these two teams in regular season, and the Bears won 13-3.
That just left a really sour taste in our mouth. And I think it motivated everybody on that team to get ready for that 85 season. And everybody bought in, and we were on a roll. And things just, it was a magical year, and things kept happening. And I think just that confidence we had in 84 helped us all the way through that 85 season.
I want to get back to the 85 Bears in a couple of minutes, but the 4 best teams, I think a lot of people agree with this, Jay, the 4 best teams made the conference championship games, and now the Super Bowl features the Eagles and the Chiefs. What are your initial thoughts of the game?
It's going to be a great Super Bowl. I think I see with the Eagles and the Chiefs is they have just a great roster. I think, you look at the Bears and just their ups and downs at trying to find that quarterback. You know, it's been trying to get the quarterback position right for so many years that the previous regime with Ryan Pace, they did everything they could try to do with get the guy in there, as they sacrificed the roster. They traded away draft picks. But now if you look at the Eagles team and the Chiefs, I mean, they have solid rosters, and especially the Eagles right now. You look at that offensive line of the Eagles, you look at that defensive line of the Eagles, and they have depth in them. They have great players on both sides of the ball. The Kansas City Chiefs have rebuilt their offensive line to great over just a really quick time period. And, the defensive line that the Chiefs have and some of the dynamic athletes they have on that defense, you got to get the quarterback position right. There's no question. I'm not saying that, but then you also have to have, you got to have a team that, especially I've said it on the broadcast, the BBM broadcast for years and years, is that you got to have the offense and defensive lines if you want to compete for that Super Bowl.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that you have to build from the trenches. It's very interesting to note that just the other day, Pat Mahomes, the father of Patrick Mahomes and a guy who used to pitch for the Cubs, said he really thought, both of them thought, the Bears were going to draft him. And instead, they drafted Mitch Trubisky. And you know and I know that can set a franchise back possibly a decade.
No question. It's something that you bring that up because in that draft that year, the Bears had asked me to go out to Philadelphia and announce the second pick, the second round pick in that draft. So I was there the first night, and when that trade went down for Mitch Trubisky and what the Bears gave up, it was quite a shock for everybody that was in Philadelphia at that time.
First trade of the night, and it is not somebody from the bottom of the top 10 moving up. It's the Bears moving up one spot. As the fans here are learning the details, they gave up a third and a fourth this year and a third next year.
With the second pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback, North Carolina.
Hello, Mitchell Trubisky is going to Chicago.
It is something how things work out like that. Is there's three quarterbacks going that year, and Mitch was rated number one by some people. Everybody has their own opinion who's going to be the top pick and the best guy to go. But what I had a problem with, and I think what everybody, what's kind of proven correct, and a lot of people had the same thoughts, is any of the three would have been good. It's just, giving away the draft choices that move up a little bit is the thing that kind of stung and hurt the Bears. And it goes back to my point, is how those draft picks to accumulate players around that quarterback position is good. And not only that, is that then if you look at the second round pick of that same year, they took the tight end.
The Chicago Bears select Adam Shaheen, tight end, Ashland.
I got a funny story for you. So when I went out for that draft, I called my college roommate, because he had a son coming into that draft that same year. And I called up Bruce Kittle and said, "Hey, where are you and George at?" And he goes, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "We're here out in Iowa." And I go, "What?" I go, "You're not here in Philadelphia?" He goes, "No, George wasn't invited for the draft." And I go, "Golly." I go, "George is going to be one of the best players in the NFL. What I saw him do in college and the athlete he is." And then I was shocked when the Bears took a guy in Division II football, second round, Adam Shaheen. I was shocked with George Kittle sitting there.
Are you saying that the Bears could have had Patrick Mahomes and George Kittle in the same draft?
Oh, there's no question there. I mean, they were in position, they could have done that. How about that? I was shocked. I was completely floored, shocked when George Kittle, I thought for sure he was going to be out in Philadelphia to be one of the guys, one of the first guys drafted. I mean, I was so impressed with him as an athlete, watching him at Iowa, and you know, my daughter and his sister played college volleyball together at Iowa. I remember sitting at some volleyball games with George when he was in high school, watching him play. And so I've always watched George his whole career, and it's been a lot of fun to watch him play. He's such an amazing player. What he does, you know, not only catching the ball, but his blocking is unbelievable.
I don't know about you, but I'm always amazed by Patrick Mahomes. Most humans right. would have not been able to play with a high ankle sprain, but he did. I've said this before, Jay, there are very, very few athletes that are truly worth the price of admission. Mahomes is one of them. Steph Curry, Tiger Woods when he was healthy, and maybe in the future, but certainly for Bears fans now, Justin Fields. We'll talk about him soon. But Mahomes, he's the goods.
No question. And it's something that you say, the high ankle sprain, what he did this past Sunday in that game.
Guys are going to be around you if you're Mahomes. Heads up, stand in the pocket, fire under duress.
From the pocket, on the run, to the end zone. It's caught on his back. Valdez Scantling.
And I was amazed too, because George, my sophomore and senior year at the University of Iowa playing football was destroyed with, I had a high ankle sprain, and I tried to come back and it just further delayed me. And there are funny things that you can walk around and be normal, but you just cannot get up on your toes and jump up and down on it. And it really ruined my football, you know, two seasons of my college career is a high ankle sprain.
So with that in mind, who are you picking in the Super Bowl?
I was picking the 49ers all along. I thought that was the team that I was, like, midway through the season. I've just been so impressed with everything they do on offense, and their defense, of course, is how strong they are. But I'm kind of going with my heart right now. I'm a good friend of Dave Tobe, so I got to go with Kansas City and see in Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be a great Super Bowl. Although, you know, Jason Kelce playing the center position, you got to pick one of the Kelce brothers, I guess. Which one are you going to go with?
And, right.
And actually, when the Eagles came in and played Chicago, I did the post game radio. I went down to the Philadelphia's locker room. I've never done it before. Went down the locker room and I went in. I wanted to introduce myself and say hi to Jason Kelce, because I've really appreciated watching him play for so many years. And so it was a lot of fun saying hi to him. He's an amazing center to watch play. And a quick funny story is when he first started playing, I remember being in Iowa City watching the game with my mom, and you know, my family, we're all centers. My dad, my two brothers, we all played the center position. Within like the first couple series, my mom, and I didn't say anything about Kelce, and he, you know, he's young, just starting out. My mom goes, "That center from Philadelphia is pretty good," and so she picked up really quick how good he is.
When's the last time you had your air ducts cleaned? Here's the best solution. Mr. Duct, a name Chicagoland has trusted for over 20 years. They work on your furnaces, air conditioners, and do repairs, maintenance, and installations. In other words, they're your all-around company for air quality choice and more. Mr. Duct provides on-site commercial ventilation cleaning estimates. You'd be hard-pressed to find better. So give them a call at 888-4-MR-DUCT. That's 888-497-3828. And Mr. Duct is the right choice to clean your residential dryer vents. They do a full inspection to make sure your dryers are running properly. Mr. Duct works with schools, health facilities, and office buildings to make sure you're breathing clean air. Their testimonials are endless, and with good reason. So don't think twice when you're ready to work on air ducts, dry vents, and so much more. Just think Mr. Duct. 888-4-MR-DUCT. That's 888-497-3828. And find them on the web at MrDuctCleaning.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to Justin Fields. You've watched every game he's played. We all know he can run and turn a nothing game into a something game to watch. But where are you when it comes to his passing ability?
You know, it's what I said about, you know, you got to build the team around him. And that's what they got to do with Justin Fields. I think he throws a great deep ball.
So third down and long, a twist up front, able to collapse the pocket. Fields keeps it alive as a wide open Pettis. And now Pettis down the sideline and in. Improvisation and a touchdown from 51.
He's had some really nice deep passes, you know, throughout his career, and he'll come. I don't have any worries about that at all. You know, I think he's learning. He's all reports. It sounds like that he is willing to work very hard, you know, off the field, studying film, learning defenses. So, I'm excited to see what he's going to do. You know, I just watching this past year, I said, I don't know how many times I said, just another wow moment by Justin Fields out there. And I think there's going to be many more to come. And it is amazing that this past year, it's just how I've never seen Bear fans being so patient with the amount of losses the Bears. I mean, they had the most losses in the history of their franchise. And I think the Bears were so entertained by the athletic ability and the potential of Justin Fields. It made it a very watchable, kind of a fun season. It kind of hurts to say that in a way, but it was kind of an enjoyable, fun season to watch Justin Fields. It's amazing how he kind of turned the whole attitude of Chicago Bear fans around.
Let's talk about you. How in the world did Jay Hilgenberg go undrafted and then turn into a 7-time Pro Bowl center? Who missed?
Well, I mean, I look at George Kittle, you know, getting drafted in the fifth round. But, you know, I remember my last game I played in my college career. We were playing at Michigan State. And we got beat. And I remember in the locker room afterwards, my offensive line coach coming up to me and saying, he goes, Jay, you're probably the best center, the best lineman I've coached. But he goes, I don't think you're going to get drafted. And I just kind of like looked at him and go, you know, what are you talking about? And because I always had confidence, you know, as I come from a football family, and you mentioned about, you know, my uncle played 16 years in the NFL. I always figured, and my dad being a first-team All-American center and coached football, and my older brother being captain of the Iowa Hawkeyes and a really good center, he was all Big Ten, that I figured that every football team I'm on, I should be the best player, or there's something wrong with me. So it came as a real kind of a shock to me that I didn't get drafted. But then, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I had a high ankle sprain my senior year. And so I missed a major part of the season. And probably never really got back to where I should have been. But, you know, the one thing I remember so much about everything is my uncle, Wally Hilgenberg, telling me that no matter what or where you get drafted or not get drafted, when you go to that training camp, it's all attitude. And I just remember also my father during training camp had such belief in me that I would make the team and I'd make any team that I'd go out for that gave me a lot of confidence. So, I mean, I was determined to make it.
You were actually a special teams guy before the Bears anointed you the center.
Right. No, I, you know, my dad being first team All-American in 53, he played in the single wing. So he did all the snapping, you know, they snapped the ball, you know, to the backs and to the running backs and at different angles. And so, in fact, you know, my dad's 91 years old, and it was not more than 10, 12 years ago. They were still, Kirk Ferentz was still sending snappers over to my dad's house to work, to teach him how to snap in the backyard.
Wow.
I mean, it was 15 yards from the tree to the edge of our dog kennel. It was 15 yards. and so myself and my brothers were out there from seventh grade on, you know, snapping punts before dinner. So it's kind of funny too, because I remember the first practice, the first mini camp, first time I ever stepped on the practice field after the draft, and they had the first mini camp after the draft, my rookie year, went up there and we went through practice. And then after the practice was over, they had the snappers and punters go over this one section. And I went over there and snapped a couple of punt snaps, and Jim Palmer, who was the head scout at the time, he comes up to me, he goes, and he saw the way I was snapping the ball. He looks at me, goes, "Did you snap in college?" And I go, "Yes, for 3 years I did." So I know I was a good snapper. I tell people all the time, I was Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz all in one.
Wow, that's quite a group. And people sometimes take centers for granted. But while you were with the Bears for the 11 seasons, you had to snap the ball. This, of course, will come to no shock to anybody, to a lot of quarterbacks. The one of course, most successful was the guy who was injured the most often, and that was Jim McMahon.
Right. No, I snapped I snapped in games with guys from for Vince Evans to Jim Harbaugh. It was my guys. So there's quite a few of them in there. But
McMahon, by the way, was always credited with galvanizing the offensive line. That while he may have been a better than average quarterback when he was healthy, he really was a very loyal guy, and particularly to you guys.
Yeah. I mean, Jim was a very smart football player. He protected the ball. He understood that he could take advantage of defenses.
First down, this is McMahon again, wide open field in front of him. He wants a bundle, got McKinnon. That is McKinnon, third touchdown pass tonight for McMahon. McKinnon's second, a 43-yard effort, and he is blowing this game away. He makes things happen.
He was a pretty sophisticated passing game in college, comparable, you know, back in the day than what the NFL was. And so he kind of had a step up on everybody. But really, I mean, our offensive line, the success we have, you got to mention Dick Stanfield. Dick Stanfield was the best offensive line coach there's ever been in the NFL. Hall of Fame player. I was at Dick's service when he passed away. Marv Levy spoke, and he started off saying, "Dick Stanfield, the greatest offensive line coach in the history of the NFL." And I 100% agree with that. I had him for the whole time I was at Chicago for 11 seasons. And I just think, you know, when Dick left the Bears, when Mike Ditka got fired, it's really kind of been a struggle to, they've had some good lines, you know, a couple good lines that played well since, but I think that's kind of always been kind of a spot where the Bears needed to be stronger. And just Dick Stanfield's philosophy of how to play offensive line and the attitude you got when you play and your mindset and just the way he coached is just not the technique isn't coached that way anymore. You know, we had real assignment blocking and taking advantage of the snap count and trying to, you know, when you get done playing at the end of the day, you make sure that guy that you played against remembers you. It's just the little detail things that what Dick Stanfield brought as an ex-player and not only an ex-player, but as a Hall of Fame player. He knew the attitude it needed to play the offensive line.
It's great that you mention him because when people think about the Bears and the coaching staff, they think of Mike Ditka and they think of Buddy Ryan.
Right.
Of course, Buddy Ryan was the defensive coordinator, but you were involved a lot with Mike Ditka. So was Mike Ditka the great coach or was he a good coach with a great team?
Oh, no. We don't win a Super Bowl without Mike Ditka as our head coach. There's just no question. My rookie year was 1981. It was Neil Armstrong was the head coach. And George Halas understood what the 81 team was lacking. And that's why he brought Mike Ditka in there. You know, I've said attitude here a few times. Ditka brought it.
I believe in life, everybody has to be somewhere, right? And I spent a few years in different places, and maybe that's what the good Lord wills, that I'd be back here. I kind of believe that. Maybe that might seem old-fashioned to you people, but I believe everybody has a destiny in life, and I believe that Chicago's mine.
I mean, he brought it every single day at Halas Hall. You know, if you weren't prepared to work hard at Halas Hall when Mike Ditka was there, you weren't going to be there. And I met Buddy Ryan when I was a younger kid. You know, it was my uncle with the Vikings. I remember being in the locker room on a Saturday morning before a game, and Buddy Ryan was Wally's position. He was the linebacker coach of the Vikings. Neil Armstrong was the defensive coordinator. And so I remember meeting Buddy Ryan. You know, I think I was a sophomore or a freshman in high school at the time. I had a great relationship with Buddy Ryan. I owned a racehorse with Buddy Ryan.
You did?
Oh yeah, he called me. I remember the first practice I had. You know, being the undrafted rookie free agent, after stretching, you'd break down to offense and defense. I had to go to the defense and snap for the defensive lineman. And I come running over there and Buddy Ryan looks at me and goes, he called me Little Mick for Mick Tinglehoff. He goes, Hey, Little Mick, where's your ball? And I go, what? And he goes, you can't play football if the center doesn't have a ball. Center should always have a ball. Every good center has a ball with them, or you can't play football. And from that day on, I always had a ball in my hand for every drill, everything. I never, for my whole career, I always carried a football around with me.
1985 was a very magic time for this football team and for this city. What was the best part of it for you?
The best part of it for me was, you just got me flashing my eyes, my mind was when Matt Sui scored the touchdown in the Super Bowl in the second quarter.
Whoops. Don Blackman was offside. Sui is in the end zone for a touchdown. The flag is down, but unless Blackman was drawn offside, Chicago has six more.
And walking to the sideline, I'm looking up in the stands and seeing my family up there, knowing we have the game won. And there's actually I've seen a picture. Someone took a picture of me walking off the field. I don't have my helmet on. And I'm looking up to my family, knowing that we're going to win the Super Bowl after, you know, watching my uncle and the Vikings lose four consecutive Super Bowls, that, you know, we're finally going to get a Super Bowl in the family, a Super Bowl victory.
If you want to hear more great guests on Tell Me a Story I Don't Know, all you have to do is go to Sports Media Watch on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the many interviews we've done dating back to January of 2021. We return with Jay Hilgenberg on Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. I am looking at your playing record, and correct me if I'm wrong, you only missed two regular season Bears games, period, just two, and they weren't just in one season. Otherwise, you played every game.
Yes, yeah. In one of those games, I probably could have played, I probably should have played in it, but I tweaked an ankle or something like that, and we had everything wrapped up, so they rested me.
That's pretty good, though. It's a pretty good record to basically play in just about every single football game over that course of period of time. Matter of fact, when you were with the Browns, you played that first year, you played all 16 games.
Yes, yeah. I played every snap that year. That's I tell people all the time. You know, I didn't stand around waiting to get hit. I was the hitter. I hurt the other people. And that's the great thing about the center position too. And that's the way I believe you got to play the center position is the man, you come off the ball and you hit them first and you get after it. And you know, I really owe it a lot to Dick Stanfield too, to bring him up again. It's just the way that we were taught, you know, we had to know every position, what was going on the field. We knew what everybody's assignment was against every defense. And so then, you know who, where guys are blocking down and where the danger could be. But that's the one thing I love the battle. I love the fight. I loved competing. So I never wanted to miss a snap. You know, I wrestled. That was my other sport that I really loved was wrestling. And I think that was kind of the attitude you have. And, you know, if you can get through wrestling practice and become a good wrestler, you know, football's pretty easy then.
Please refresh my memory. You weren't part of the Super Bowl shuffle, were you?
No.
Willie Gault.
Willie Gault, I was on the plane coming back from that Miami loss. And Willie Gault comes up and asks me that they're doing this recording down at the Park West and we'd like to have you do this. And I go, Willie, we just lost, you know, the game. I'm not going to go do something like that. So
do you regret it?
No, not at all. I never thought about it since. But I tell you what's really cool, though, and I tell people this all the time, what's neat about it is that all those guys that did it, you know, they got those, they're that sold so much, they're platinum recording artists. They got that platinum record in a frame, and so you know they got a little added thing on their Wikipedia page.
We are the Bears, shuffling crew, shuffling on down, doing it for you. We're so bad, we know we're good, blowing your mind like we knew we would. You know we're just strutting for fun, strutting our stuff for everyone. We're not here to start no trouble.
Yeah, something Jay, I thought about it. I said, I'm not sure Jay dances. I don't know if he sings.
Right. No one would want to see that. We, you know, our offensive line, though, our offensive line started it all with the swag that year with the Black and Blues Brothers poster. So that was that was the start. That was the start of the swag. So I think, you know, our offensive line should be recognized for that.
Why did those Bears teams never make it back to the Super Bowl, Jay?
Oh, you know, we got beat by Washington, you know, those next two times in the playoffs, which, you know, they were a good team, well coached. You know, the traveling we had to do, we didn't have our facility set up. We had to go down to Georgia, and then we had to go to we went to Notre Dame. I remember to practice. We had to go to a high school to practice. So there's a lot of issues. You know, McMahon being hurt also. It's tough. Yeah, I always thought we'd be back to another. You know, I didn't wear my Super Bowl ring for years and years and years. You know, probably not until after I retired even. because I said I wasn't going to wear this one until we won our next one. So, you know, it is something that we never made it back. It was that's the one thing I wish we could have. We got to the championship game against the 49ers on that cold night in Soldier Field. And I think that was the loss that stung the most, because we'd beaten them earlier in the year.
This is Rathman's touchdown. And Sam Weich and his Cincinnati Bengals will be playing in the Super Bowl against San Francisco.
We came out and it just didn't happen.
Didn't you begin your broadcast career with WBBM as an analyst when the Bears returned to the Super Bowl in the 2006 season?
Yes. That was a lot of fun. And I enjoyed that. And, you know, you look at that team too. They had a good offensive line, you know, John Tate at left tackle and Reuben Brown, left guard, Olin at center, Roberta Garza at right guard, and Fred Miller, I believe, in it, was a right tackle. Mm-hmm. And that was a really good offensive line. And that's, you know, I think that's key right there. And then John Tate retires unexpectedly. And I just think, you know, it seems like, you know, the teams have never been able to really overcome that over the years is John Tate was a big loss to the Bears, in my belief.
What was it like being on the other side of a Super Bowl for the Bears? You played in one. Suddenly, you're analyzing one.
It was fun for me. It was fun. I wanted. I was kind of more looking at it as I remember going to the Super Bowl when my uncle played against the Pittsburgh Steelers down in New Orleans, because I remember going to the post game. You know, they always have a post game party the team throws, and I remember going to that post game party that the Vikings had after they got beat by the Steelers, and then our post game party that we had down in New Orleans. And then, so I wanted the Bears to win, to go have fun at this post game party. But then I remember no one wanted to go to it since they lost, but I really wanted to go just see kind of how it was comparable to other ones. And so I got to the Bears post game party, and it was kind of like the one that, you know, the Vikings and the Steelers. And I just remember my uncle being upset at that one. I mean, I was a young kid at the time.
I was kind of surprised that you did become an analyst and Bears broadcast for WBBM, because I never remembered as a reporter you being a very talkative guy. Maybe I'm getting this wrong. So how did you get into this racket, and did you enjoy your time working with Jim Schwanz and Ron Gleason?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I really didn't know Jim before I started it. And it was a lot of fun. We formed a really nice friendship. I enjoy watching the games with Jim, and Jim can really analyze games, and you know, he helped me like learn a lot about like defensive coverages and stuff like that, you know, because being a center, you know, I really could care less about defensive backs mostly. And so he was fun. And then doing the radio with Ron, I mean, Ron's just a real professional. I mean, he makes you very relaxed in the studio. He's unbelievably prepared for anything that gets thrown at you during a broadcast. And if you mess up a little of that, I mean, he makes it fun, makes a joke out of it anyway. So he was a true pro, and just a lot of fun. I'm going to miss doing that with those guys.
Yeah, that's right, because now the games will be on ESPN 1000. So what's going to happen to your broadcast career?
Well, I guess I've become a free agent again.
And you hope somebody picks up your option.
Who knows? Yeah, there you go. Who knows? It would be, you know, it'd be fun to look at and see if there's opportunities, but especially, you know, because I think the Bears are going to be an exciting team coming up. And I think, you know, they got the front office right. I really like the organization where it's headed. They've had some great hires. You know, they got offensive line guys that are running the, program now. So that's, they're going to get it. And I said on the broadcast a bunch of times how Ryan Poles comes from Kansas City, and the Chiefs, after they went to the Super Bowl, they rebuilt their offensive line in one season. So look at their center. Their center is a great center too. So I think that's one thing though, that I'd like to have someone do a study sometime. Let's look at all the starting centers in all the Super Bowl teams that have gone there. And I bet there are more than not, you got a top center that's playing for that organization.
I ask this final question to all my guests. If not for football, Jay, what would you have been?
Well, I probably would have gone into coaching and probably made a lot more money than I did, how much they're paying coaches nowadays. But either that, you know, my dad, my father, you know, being involved in football, how much I was. I actually, after my senior year at Iowa, went through the grad assist program with Hayden Fry. In case I didn't make the Bears, that's what I was going to come back and do. But I really didn't want to do that, so that's why I worked pretty hard and fought every day up at Hal's Hall my rookie year to make that team. And so, yeah, I'd probably have to say the grad assist. And, you know, the guy that took my position in that grad assist spot was Bobby Stoops. So he did pretty good.
Well, this has been an absolute pleasure. Always great seeing you at WBBM and reporting on you during those golden days of the Bears in the 80s. Best to you, and thank you, Jay Hilgenberg, for telling me a story I don't know.
Thank you, George. I appreciate it also.
Thank yous to CBS Sports, the National Football League, Fox Sports, ABC Sports, NBC Sports, and the Super Bowl Shuffle for those very memorable highlights. And my thanks as always to the people behind the scenes that helped make this wonderful podcast possible. TJ Reeves for putting us on the map, Will Hatzel for his crafty editing, Nick Tocci for our wonderful graphics, and to our new partner, Last Word on Sports Media Podcast, and to our presenting sponsor, Mr. Duct. You can find them at MrDuckCleaning.com. Tune in next week when we feature another intriguing guest on Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. I'm George Hoffman, and that's All She Wrote.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.